The following podcast is scheduled for one awesome show and has a time limit of 60 minutes. And here are your hosts. Gravel Talk on RAQ Radio, episode number 24 today. What's going on, ladies and gents? My name is Nick Ragner, joined by AC Riley. Got a huge show for you today. We got Dysfunction coming on later on for our Spotlight in the Squared Circle segment. He was recently crowned the Lord of the Hardcore.
That's right. We actually had to talk with him a little bit before the Lord of the Hardcore, though, because...
Probably a good thing,
because otherwise we'd kick it off and we wouldn't be able to do episode 25.
Hey, that'd be kind of a sad thing. Speaking of Lord of Hardcore, we got that recap coming up for you here in just a little bit. AC Riley was there this past weekend, and he's not dead, so that's why he can share his experience with us. But as we do every single week, we're going to talk about shows coming up both this weekend and the following weekend. So, AC Riley, want to start us off?
Starting things off with ACW number 3 at the Oshkosh's Elks Lodge. It's presented to you by Sammy's on Main. That's this Friday, May 2nd, 2014. Oshkosh's Elks Lodge, as I mentioned, it's on 175 West Fernal Avenue in Oshkosh, as you might imagine, with it being the Oshkosh's Elks Lodge. Doors open at 6:30, bell time at 7. The main event has a six-man tag. We'll see Nick Colucci and the Dream Police taking on Joey Avalon and Insane Evil. We'll also see the final showdown of Stacy Shadows and Gorgeous Jordy Lee. And former best friends colliding as porn stars Peter Swans and Raging Nathan Gus go toe-to-toe.
Hmm.
And you can also see Lumberjack Michael Wayne, Mario Cravello, Justin Dredd, Ripped Ryan Summers, TW3 Brock Hall, and, of course, Shoeless Tyler Jackson. That's ACW number 3.
So, following on the next day, this Saturday, May 3rd, we got Power Entertainment putting together a show down in Fox Lake, Illinois at the American Legion Post 703. Doors open at 6, bell time at 7. Tickets are $10 in advance, $15 at the door. And right now, they don't have a match listing, but who they have advertised, Vinny Riott, Matt Winchester, Psychotic Jimmy Blaze, The Regulators, and there's going to be Lumberjack Brom will also be there. Plus, you know, a lot of regulars hit up POW Entertainment. So that's POW Entertainment this Saturday, May 3rd, in Fox Lake, Illinois.
Also, another show on Saturday, May 3rd, WPW will be having their spring showcase at Baba Louie's, 419 Main Ave, De Pere, Wisconsin. Tickets are $10 or $5 with the college ID. Doors open at 7 p.m. You'll be able to see Dysfunction, Ryan Summers, Rough Rider Rashawn, Ian 12 Gauger, Derek St. Holmes, Julie Jet Avalon, Devin Drake and Johnny Smash, Gorgeous Jordy Lee, and more. And then only 6 days after that, we'll see WPW's Big Apple Brawl at the Big Apple Pub and Grill, 5733 County Road R. That's in Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Tickets are $10 for that, $15 for ringside seating. Doors open at 7 p.m. once again. No matches really announced for both the Spring Showcase or the Big Apple Brawl. But, you know, just check out their event page and hopefully there you'll see some details for that.
Yeah, WPW known for doing shows within a week's time, kind of a popular thing they like to do. We also got UPW's WrestleSlam, UPW this past weekend having Lord of Hardcore. Well, now they got WrestleSlam Saturday, May 10th at the Pat O'Donnell Civic Center. That's on Jackson Road,
E4972.
I'm dyslexic. E4972, Jackson Road in Ironwood, Michigan.
Trying to give him the wrong address? Come on, man.
I know, man. I don't know. In Ironwood, Michigan, there's going to be a lot of stuff going on here, man. Special guest commissioner, former WWE, AWA, and WCW star, Wild Bill the Goon Irwin will be down there. Their main event will see Bushwhacker Luke taking on the Love Machine, Matt Longtime, somebody we haven't seen in a long time, but I wouldn't mind. You know, it's always a treat seeing Matt Longtime in the ring. Then you also have a USA versus Canada match as the Patriot will take on Canada. What is going on today?
Canada's greatest athlete,
thank
Brad
you.
Sharp.
Thank you. I really needed that. Then we're going to have our homeless...
Should I just finish the rest of it?
Can you finish it for me, please?
Homeless Hero, Shoeless Tyler Jackson, the King of the UP, taking on Peter B. Beautiful. Tattooed Mark Preby will be taking on Jonathan Smash. Brian Skyline, Joey Avalon, and TW3 will be in a triple threat. And Inside Outsiders will be in tag action. See, that wasn't that hard.
No, you made it look really easy. So that's UPW's WrestleSlam next Saturday. on Jackson Road in Ironwood, Michigan. So check that out. What we were able to do, well, I guess what A.C. Riley was able to check out this past weekend. Yeah, what we... What A.C. Riley was able to check out this past weekend was UPW's Lord of the Hardcore, an event that I, you know, I really wanted to, wish I could have went to, although I had prior commitments, known as working. So, but anyways, yeah, I mean, it sounded like a pretty big show. I mean, look at all these matches that we had on the card. So we're going to go down the line, not necessarily talk about every single one, because we have to make sure we save some room for a dysfunction spotlight in the squared circle. But first off, let's try to get some of the bigger matches out of the way. So we saw, you know, UPW Heavyweight Championship on the line as Seth Gambino took on Dysfunction in a Fans Bring the Weapons matchup. AC Riley, so how did that match really turn out for you?
Well, Dysfunction destroyed Seth Gambino. Seth Gambino is part of the anti-UPW movement. It's actually called the anti-Ludican Lodge movement, if you remember.
Oh, yeah, okay.
But that was back at their old venue. So it pretty much was just an anti-UPW movement in general. Seth Gambino came out. He had Rex Ritchie ringside. And pretty much what happened is that Dysfunction came out, and he was a man on a mission. He just basically destroyed him. Used pretty much everything he could find. Seth Gambino, unfortunately, didn't really get a whole lot of offense because Dysfunction was just, you know, all good to go. I mean, grabbed a keyboard, destroyed it. At first he saw one key came out, and I was thinking, I wonder what key that was. And then a bunch more exploded, and I was like, well, it doesn't even matter anymore. pretty much anything you could find, he just destroyed Gambino with, and he definitely started things off right with the tournament, you know, winning the UPW heavyweight title and then moving on to go into the main event. We kind of did a little bit of a spoiler alert on that, but, I mean, we didn't really talk about the match, so at least we have that in our pocket.
Yeah, and definitely, before we get a little too far ahead of ourselves, I kind of forgot to actually talk about the venue in general. So, really, what was the crowd atmosphere like at the venue? You know, was there a big turnout? You know, normally at a hardcore event, you almost think there's going to be a lot of... I guess more hardcore fans. If that, you know, I'm not trying to make a pun or anything, but it sounds like there would have been a really hot crowd. You know, what was it like?
Well, that's the thing is that the show actually was rather large. I mean, it was about 10 matches on the card. You had the 7 matches that were scheduled for the tournament, and then on top of that, you had another death match, which was Kiki Rose and Randy West, and then you also had Mr. 450 against Brian Skyline, and then on top of that, you also had a tag match. So it was definitely a long night, you know, but I mean, the fans seemed really into it. The crowd was packed. It's a little bit of a smaller venue, but it's a little bit more like box-like, so at the same time you could fit a lot more people. You're not worried about like corners or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And then for those that didn't know, that this is actually the venue that UPW bought, and they're actually trying to renovate. So like for example, it was a little bit colder in the UP, but you know, they had like some of those like heating generators and okay. Everything, like, you know, like they almost look like the jet intakes kind yep. of thing. So they had that for heat, and they had a porta potty outside and stuff like that. So I mean, I don't think people were really complaining about like kind of some of the like conditions of the venue. I think people were more focused on the ring, which was good. But yeah, I mean, the venue itself wasn't terrible. I think it's definitely a work in progress, and it should be exciting to see how things work out once they start finishing the project.
Definitely. So now let's move more towards the matches. You kind of mentioned it. I kind of read some tweets, and I heard some stuff about Mr. 450 taking on Brian Skyline. Heard it might have been a sleeper match of the night. What kind of death match were they involved in, and what were you?
Well, that's
your
the
perception?
Thing. They weren't involved in
it. It wasn't even a death match.
This was. Well, here's the thing. Mr. 450, the reason that we've been hearing so much about him, because he's actually a guy that had been on TNA Impact.
Oh.
So, I mean, you know, a big name like that coming down to the UP to take on Brian Skyline. These guys were in the semi-main event. It was almost a break from the deathmatch style
of course,
matches
yeah.
that you would expect to go into the next deathmatch. I definitely think that this is, for me, there are two matches of the night, the main event and this match, definitely for their own different reasons, because this was the match of the night as far as a good psychology wrestling match, and then the main event was a great, you know, hardcore match. This match, you know, Brian Skyline, 450, very even throughout the majority of the fight. 450 would throw something on Skyline. Skyline would answer right back. These guys really put on a hell of a show. I was really impressed with it. I mean, I'd never really seen Skyline in action. But, you know, going up like a name like 450, I mean, yeah, he definitely earned his caliber in the ring with 450.
Was there a 450 splash by chance?
Nope. There
wasn't.
I think he tried to go for one. Skyline got out of the way. I was a little disappointed. I mean, I feel like a guy. I feel like if you're gonna call yourself Mr. 450,
you at least need to
land a 450.
You need to land a
450. I feel like that's kind of in the contract.
Okay. Well, let's move on to the main event. You said that was also. You said it was kind of tied for match of the night. So we're kind of skipping ahead here, but I want to make sure we get in the important matches, the matches you thought were the best, so we can highlight those. So the main event was the Lord of Hardcore crowning, I guess you could say. Whoever won that matchup would be crowned Lord of Hardcore, and that I believe saw Chase McCoy taking on Dysfunction, if I'm correct in that.
Yeah, that was the finals for the match. But before we get into that, I actually want to go back and talk about one of the prelim matches.
Oh, okay.
This was this is kind of a segue, because you see Dysfunction, Chase McCoy, both members of Insane Evil going toe to toe. But we actually saw another tag team go toe to toe earlier. We saw Mark Priebe and Joey Jet Avalon up in a Full Metal Mayhem match. And basically, Full Metal Mayhem entails that if it had metal in it, it was probably going to get used. So, like, ladders, steel chairs, you name it.
Oh, wow.
And these guys definitely just destroyed each other. Also, by the way, one of the other weapons was a futon frame.
A futon frame. So, how do you use a futon frame?
Well, you use the frame of it and use it to basically throw somebody into.
Jesus.
But, yeah, that match was sick. It was definitely sick. These two, Avalon, as we know, he's a lot taller than Priebe, so he definitely had the size advantage. But Priebe is definitely a guy that he's very fast on his feet. Once he got to a vertical base, he was pretty much just going, taking off. And some of the things that they did to each other was just sick. Avalon did a pile driver onto Priebe on the ladder. And Priebe actually walked away with the win on that one after a double stomp to Avalon on a steel chair.
Wow.
So basically he curb stomped him, just taking out the curb and adding a steel chair. It was amazing to see that Avalon had all his teeth, but that one was just sick. But moving on to the other tag match, though, we saw Insane Evil going toe-to-toe. This was, you talk about a match telling a story. This one told a story.
Because
Chase... by the way, talking about Chase, I don't think he really ate anything before he went to the match.
Why would you say that?
He was eating thumbtacks and barbed wire and stuff like that. I don't think he was getting his iron. he was in the thumbtack Lego match with the Hebrew Hammer, Joseph Swartz, excuse me.
Yep.
So basically, when the Hebrew Hammer was, throwing out stuff and he was trying to avoid it, here's Chase. He grabs a handful and he's just snacking on them like it's like M&Ms.
Really?
And then you see Chase McCoy coming out when the barbed wire rope. By the way, the barbed wire was wrapped around the ropes. It wasn't its own ropes.
I think I saw that. Did you post a pic of that on
Twitter?
Yeah, I did. Is that what that was?
Yeah. Okay. So basically, Chase comes out when he made his entrance, and then you started nibbling on the barbed wire. And, we're used to kind of like the cuddly Chase McCoy from Supreme Wrestling Entertainment.
that's how you could describe him, I guess.
Well,
I guess
in comparison. I mean, he's obviously, Chase was never a cuddly individual in SWE, but compared to how he reacts in a very hardcore match, that was definitely his light side, his well-mannered behavior, Chase McCoy. So this one, you definitely got to see him at his full potential, and he was crazy. He's just absolutely psychotic.
He lived up to his name.
He lived up to his name. And then, Dysfunction comes out, definitely hot on a roll from winning the title and beating Peter B in the semifinals. These two definitely just went toe-to-toe. Dysfunction would throw Chase into the ropes. Chase had a shirt on at the time. He ended up tossing it out. And then he's almost like, you know what? Throw me again. I actually want to get, destroyed by this barbed wire. God, these two just destroyed each other. It was sick. Dysfunction did a crucifix powerbomb onto a stack of chairs onto Chase McCoy. And Chase did not bounce after that. He just fell flat.
Oh,
just
man.
Just smack.
Like if you've ever been in a ring, that bounce kind of gives you a little leeway, I guess, when you're taking bumps. So if you're just smacking right onto something, that's never too good.
And, miraculously, Chase kicked out of that. And then it actually led to how the match ended. Which was they grabbed a very old table. Like this looked like it was a table that had seen some things. So they pulled out, got the lighter fluid. Chase wanted to use it for his own advantages. Dysfunction ends up getting the upper hand, gets lighter fluid. Referee Jimmy Diamond was forced to light the table on fire. And then I took a picture of it, but basically, and I was actually thankful that another person got a picture of it as well. But yeah, you know, crucifix powerbomb right onto that that flaming table, and oh man, it was just so brutal. It was without a doubt like that. That's why it was match of the night as far as death matches go. And yeah, that was definitely an interesting match.
You know, if just to make sure right now, since you have it pulled up, if anybody wants to check out our live recap or some pictures that AC Riley took, you can hit up Twitter and you can find us at RAQ Grapple Talk. They got a bunch of pictures and stuff on there from the show if you want to see some visuals. Now, getting back to the show, so we're talking about this main event being, you know, an awesome hardcore match, and you said something about it, how it kind of had a story involved. Like, what kind of story would you say that it kind of created?
Well, I think it definitely told a story of how two guys that have gone up and down the road with each other, you know, and are known for being just these psychotic individuals that will do whatever it takes to get the W for their team, and definitely going toe to toe with each other to really show like how much they really knew of each other, and they were just pushing each other to their absolute limit.
So let's kind of talk about that then, I guess, for a second. So we did, like you mentioned earlier, we saw two matches where tag teams had to go face to face in a Mark Priebe and a Joey Avalon, and then Chase McCoy and Dysfunction. So I guess in your opinion, I guess watching the guys in the ring, did it seem like that affected anything in the ring as far as viciousness during the death matches, or did it seem like they almost just worked better with each other based on that chemistry?
I almost feel like they added more viciousness because they knew each other so well in the ring, so they knew what they had to do it. For example, Avalon obviously knows that his partner is a high flyer, so for a good chunk of the beginning of the match, we saw a lot of takedowns, a lot of things to keep him down on the ground. And it really wasn't until later on, when Priebe started to get more vertical and started flying around a little bit, that Avalon realized, you know what, I just got to just destroy him. I can't do any more of this wrestling stuff. I need to just keep leveling him. And that obviously didn't work out in his favor.
Yeah.
Priebe, I think, hit him with about like 10 chair shots in the back. It was pretty brutal.
You're probably pretty glad that you didn't end up getting booked in the show, I'm assuming.
No, I got booked. I wasn't booked in a death match.
Yeah, you wrestled?
Yeah, I was in a dark match in a gauntlet against the King of the UP himself.
Oh, I didn't know that you actually got booked on that show. That never came up in conversation.
Well, it's because you don't ever talk about my stuff because you think that you're more important.
So moving on, I guess, we just talked about tag team competitors facing each other. Let's talk about the tag team championship match, because I want to know, looking at the card right now, we had Jordy Lee and Pornstash taking on Slick Rick and Judge Jesse. But based on the results, it was Supreme Brett Powers and Judge Jesse, if I'm not mistaken. What kind of happened there?
That was another interesting match because you have Pornstash and Jordy Lee, who are also part of that anti-Ludigan League anti-UPW movement. I honestly thought they had it in the bag. I thought that they were definitely going to make it up for Seth Gambino's loss just a few matches later. But unfortunately, that was not the case. And matter of fact, Jesse and Brett Powers, I don't know how well they are as a tag team together. I mean, they definitely won the titles, but I felt like the connection was more with Jordy Lee and Pornstash, who, like, as we know, have definitely been up and down the road plenty of times. Usually we see Jesse kind of by himself.
Yep.
So it'd be interesting to see what happens for these guys down the road as they defend the titles.
You know, it sounds like a pretty big night against that anti-Ludigan league, I guess, because, you know, they lost the World Heavyweight Championship and then they ended up losing the Tag Team Championship. So it's going to be interesting to see how that storyline progresses as the next show goes on. So before we have to cut to break, I really want to...
Speaking of the anti-Ludigan league, here's a photo that they posted.
I saw that. Yeah, that's pretty funny.
Notable failures: the Challenger, the Hindenburg, the anti-Ludigan League. That's it was definitely a sad end for the anti-UPW movement.
Oh, so they're that's done with? That's kaput?
Well, I mean, you know, you pretty much go from a mighty rise with having all the titles, all the cards on your hand, and then you end up losing in one fell swoop. So it sounds like there was a bit of a dysfunction.
Oh, nice.
There is a little bit of that just in general after some of the matches. It really seemed like only Pornstash and Jordy Lee were really still okay with each other, you know, despite losing the fact, you know, they're still okay. They hugged it out. But meanwhile, Rex Ritchie actually got a kind of earful from Seth Gambino when he really didn't do much to help him out in his match against Dysfunction.
Yeah, so that will be interesting to keep an eye on as we go forward. Before we have to go to break, though, I want to talk about the Staple Gun death match, the ladies, ladies death match, simply because I've never heard of a ladies death match. That's how Randy West taking on Kiki. So exactly, you know, how did that match go? I need an opinion on it.
That was a brutal match. I mean, you don't really expect ladies to get really their hands dirty, or in this case, really bloody. But yeah, I mean, these two just definitely went toe to toe with each other. You know, the Staple Gun definitely got its money's worth. Randy West definitely got the advantage, though, for the majority. I mean, obviously Randy walked away with the win. But basically, to put a picture, you know, I for some reason I knew coming up there that money was going to be stapled to somebody, and I was right. Because Kiki Rose got some dollar bills stapled to her forehead, and on top of that, she even got some stapled to her tongue.
What?
Yeah, I mean, she had a few piercings in her tongue already, but I mean, now she had another one because she had a dollar bill on her tongue. It was really hard for her to talk, obviously. So, like, it almost kind of muffled some of her shrieks because, you know, obviously with that, that's obviously a pretty painful procedure to get all these staples in your body. And then on top of that, you know, it's basically like, hey, I know you're screaming, but why don't you be quiet?
Wow, that sounds was there a lot of cringing done in that matchup? Because that sounds yeah,
it's a lot of cringing. Jesse definitely got some good shots, some good footage of more of the barbaric aspects of that match. But you know, you talk about death matches, you talk about pushing it to the next limit, and I definitely think that that's one of those matches that definitely raised the bar for death matches
Wow.
in general.
Okay, so I guess before we cut the break, Lord of Hardcore, you know, bunch of death matches. In your opinion, even if you've already said it, what was the one, I guess, spot that you were like, wow, like that just happened?
I would definitely say the flaming table. Crucifix powerbomb onto the table. That's definitely epitomizing what hardcore is all about because, you know, we've seen, you know, traffic signs, steel chairs, ladders. We've seen all that.
Yep.
But how often can we say that we've gone to an indie show where there was a flaming table?
No, you know, we make
don't worry. I'll wait. I'll wait for you to find something else.
We make references to it all the time, but I guess never.
Exactly.
We've never seen that.
So it's definitely a rare commodity. It's definitely a delicacy. You know, when you talk about death matches. So that was definitely the part of the Lord of the Hardcore, as far as death matches goes. That was definitely put it away. But I would definitely say, one of the closing comments I will say, I was actually kind of disappointed with some of the fan reactions of Mr. 450 and Brian okay. Skyline. As we mentioned, the show was a rather large one with 10 matches, and this fell in the semi-main event. So I appreciated it for the psychology and just the work ethic that these guys didn't need weapons to get the fans involved. But I feel like they had to try harder. Just because some, you know, we've seen that before. If a show goes too long, some of the fans kind of get tired. They kind of want to go home. They almost want to see the show to its ending point because they're not going to leave. They want to see it to its end.
Yep.
But I think that was definitely the problem is that it was so late in the match that some people were just like, I kind of want to go now. But I mean, for the people that were still involved, like I was with it, I definitely think that they got quite the treat.
Well, that's actually a really, really good point. I'm glad that you could say that before we had to cut the break. But coming up next, we have the newly crowned Lord of Hardcore and UPW Heavyweight Champion. You're not going to want to miss this one. It's our first ever censored Spotlight in the Squared Circle right here on Grapple Talk on RAQ right after this.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
For some reason, they let these stupid fans build weapons out of Legos to be used in this match.
Here on RAQ Radio.
This was the stupidest idea I've ever heard.
RAQ, Lacrosse's student and community-run station.
Grapple Talk on RAQ. Nick Ragnar here with AC Riley. It's time for our Spotlight in the Squared Circle segment, and we are sitting down with Dysfunction today. How's it going, Dysfunction?
Hey, man, it's real good. Thanks for having me on your show. I appreciate it.
Not a problem, man. And you know what? On this show, we pretty much mention your name every single week, it seems like.
Definitely gets brought up a lot.
It gets brought up a lot. So, I mean we talk about you a lot. We see you work, a lot, obviously. But, you know, for people like me, we'll talk about you every single week, but I haven't had the pleasure of actually seeing you in the ring yet. So, I guess for people like me, exactly who is Dysfunction?
I pretty much wrestle everywhere in Wisconsin. I'm one of the most hated guys around by most crowds. That's pretty much my best description of me. You pretty much have to see me to really explain what kind of a heel I am. I guess that's my best description. I like to smash myself into chairs and whatnot to an extent.
Sounds pretty cool, man.
So, well, yeah.
Well, based on your description, I mean, I've only seen you in action one time live. I mean, like DVDs and all that stuff, that's a different ball game. But like seeing you actually live, for example, I saw you back in Fond du Lac for WPW, Insane Evil versus Jake the Snake and Ryan Summers.
Yeah.
And so basically that was my first time meeting you and getting to know who Dysfunction is. And
awesome.
I think your description hits it right on the head. You know, you
literally.
You like to be one of those people that people just cannot stand. And you were doing that however you needed to by basically just being Dysfunction, just being the bad guy.
Wrestling needs bad guys. You know, there always needs to be that guy that the crowd wants to see get beat up. Not everybody can be, you know, big baby face on top. Everybody needs bad guys, and I can always fill that void for anybody. It's pretty much my favorite thing to do in wrestling is being a bad guy and working as a heel. And
so basically, you like to be the Scarface of professional wrestling.
I guess, yeah. I like being the meanest guy around, and I like making little kids run away from me and things like that. I enjoy it a lot.
The American dream.
Let's talk about it a little bit before you were making kids run away from you. Hopefully, I guess, before the gimmick, they weren't running away from you. Okay. I guess when you were, like, hitting up, you know, stores and stuff. But let's talk about, Dysfunction getting into wrestling. What really got you in, into the independent scene?
ECW pretty much really got me into wrestling and made me really want to do wrestling. I got to watch it on, like, a satellite at my uncle's house and watched like a Just Incredible match, and I was real pumped about the chairs and stuff like that. So I ended up getting trained in Milwaukee by Mid-American Wrestling and Frankie DeFalco when I was 17. So I started in wrestling when I was 2001. My third match, I believe, was against Colt Cabana.
Wow.
So I got to like be around awesome talent from pretty much the start. CM Punk was around all the time. I did road trips with him. Chris Hero was around. He was super young at the time. So I got to come up with a lot of really good guys. Aries also, Nick Mondo. I got to wrestle a lot of like guys who aren't around anymore and a lot of guys who like moved on to awesome things.
Wow.
So I've always been real proud of that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely.
Well, let's talk about you moving forward then. We know now, you know, you're the promoter of Insane Championship Wrestling. Kind of talk about how, you know, that really went from, I guess, starting as an independent wrestler and then starting up your own independent wrestling promotion.
Me and my friend Ben McCoy, we worked together, and we just kicked around the idea like 6 years ago, and we made that shit happen. And right now it's me, Ben, and we have another partner named Chuck Madsen. So it's three of us who run it now. You know, we all each have our different jobs, but it's going really well. We have a new building, and we're drawing good and having good shows again. So I'm real proud of a lot of the guys and building up new young guys. Team Dick Smash is a favorite of mine.
I think it's definitely one of Nick's favorites.
Love it.
Anytime, like, sometimes when we're previewing shows of what shows are going on the weekend, sometimes it says that Team Dick Smash is on the card on the event page. Sometimes it just says the members of it. And then second Johnny Smash's name gets mentioned, all of a sudden we hear Nick yell, Team Dick Smash!
Yes, awesome.
So that's
those are like two guys who are just kind of like singles guys just doing, you know, like whatever. And I kind of just threw them together and gave them a name and a little bit of a direction. And they really like ran with it. It's cool watching two young guys like take an idea and excel with it and do it in different places. I'm always a big fan of that. It's real cool.
Well, you know, you talk about getting a name that you and just kind of rolling with it. Nick has his favorite tag team name. I have mine, and not trying to be a brown noser about it, but I think that Disgusting.
That's cool. Nathan Gus
is definitely one of my favorite tag team names, and I know that you guys have been tagging around a while. Last ICW show, you tagged with the GOAT, apparently. But other than that, what's it like tagging with Nathan Gust?
It's all right. He's probably not too happy with me that we lost the titles story-wise. But it's been a good time. He's a really young kid who I've wrestled a lot of times. I always enjoy working with him, and I think he's real good. He's not wrestling as much now, but hopefully I see him soon, I think in a week or two.
So. Well, you know, according to his age, he's about 107. So I guess
he needs some time off.
I guess him wrestling at all is a marvel to modern medicine, I guess.
Let's talk about your creativeness for a second. So then, I mean, you wrestle with Disgusting. You also have the tag team Insane Evil, which it seems like has been popping up a lot lately, tagging up with Chase McCoy. What's it like tagging up with a guy like Chase?
We've been teaming up for, I think, 2 or 3 years now, off and on. I love it. He's, like, one of my best friends outside of wrestling also. But we just get along really well. I feel we're just a really strong heel team. We have a couple things that we do there team-wise. But more so, we're like an old school, like beat you down, work you over type of tag team. You know, we're not like a high spot team or anything like that. I mean, we can do some shit, but more so, we're like an old school demolition, beat you down and leave you laying type of team. More than like a Young Bucks type team, you know.
So we've gotten really into the names of your tag teams. Let's talk about Dysfunction. Where exactly did the Dysfunction, you know, gimmick or even just the name come from?
I like thought of it when I was a sophomore in a homework study class when I was writing wrestling stuff, like things I wanted to do in my backyard fed. I used to like write a lot of stuff. So I picked my name like a long time ago.
Oh, you know, you're talking about just the creativity from back when you were a sophomore. And I feel like, you know, being a promoter, as we mentioned, promoter for Insane Championship Wrestling, and I feel like you have to be creative to run a show and, you know, obviously have a lot of business smart as well. So tell us a little bit, just in general, I mean, we talked about being a promoter, but what's it like kind of going from indie wrestler to indie promoter? What was it a kind of awkward transition, or for you, did it just click like two Lego pieces?
I'm not a big fan of the promotion part. I'm not a big fan of, like, the boss thing. I like being a booker, though. That's my personal favorite thing to do outside of being a wrestler. I'm a really big fan of being a booker or, like, a commentator. Those would be my other two side things I like to do in wrestling. So I'm a big fan of being able to write good shows and write stories for people and write things that last over a couple months and there's big builds to them and hot finishes. I'm a big fan of that.
Yeah, definitely. And it's interesting, too, because when I started out in independent wrestling and doing the training, I feel like when I would watch WWE or TNA, I would notice things that maybe I didn't notice when I was a fan. Still on the track of the promoting game, you know, that, since you've been doing some promoting, do you feel like you've noticed things maybe you didn't pick up on when you were a worker?
Maybe a little bit, but not really. Like, it's just more stressful on you, like, if you wrestle and like on the same show that you're running, for a while when I was running shows, I used to not wrestle on my shows because it was too stressful to try to do both and put together a good match. And I would just be kind of lazy about my match because I had so many other things to do. So I guess that's something I learned from it, that I'd much rather do like one or the other. But that's why I have partners now, so I don't have to do as much. But that would be the only kind of difference.
Well, it's apparent that you like the creative aspect of, you know, running a federation. You know, you like writing and all that kind of a stuff. Is there a specific storyline to this day that you can say you're like, holy shit, man, like that was one of the best storylines that I've ever came up with?
We did some really good stuff where Dredd beat Troy Walters at this huge show at Texas Victory Hall, and then Mustafa came out with Piven, and it was a 2-on-1 beatdown. Status came out and made this big save. Crowd pops huge, but he turned on Dredd and laid him out. And that was just a huge, genuine crowd reaction. It's not like the best one ever, but that's one that just pops in my head. That was always really awesome. It's hard to just like put my finger on one thing.
Yeah, of
course. I'm a big fan of the Joey Avalon stuff that's going on right now. I'm a big fan of him and Chase McCoy. Those are two of my favorite guys to book and use right now. Mustafa is also very good. He's one of my favorites. I like Big Smash right now also.
I'm always starting to think that maybe we should start getting a clicker for every time Dick Smash is said.
Go.
And then we can almost count how many times it's said by the end of the interview. But anyways,
awesome.
You know, we're talking a little bit about like favorite matches, favorite moments in wrestling. But let's talk about another thing involving wrestling, road trips. You know,
sure.
Going on the road and traveling those big distances, either by yourself or ideally with a group of people with the same booked on the same show, or just kind of going just for, you know, shits and giggles. Screw it, I'll say
yeah.
shit as well.
I always travel with people.
Yeah.
Traveling.
So yeah. For you, Dis, what has been your most memorable road trip or one that sticks out while we're asking the question?
Well, like, I did two ICP tours, like, where I wrestled on one of them, and the other one where I just did, like, backup, you know, like, zombies, clown stuff. So, like, I've got to be, like, on tour all across the country, so I've got to do some really cool stuff like that way. But otherwise, like, my favorite road trips are with, like, my friends, you know, like, if I can go on a road trip with, like, Chase or Silas or Seth, or, you know, like, I have a group of guys, like, that I always, like, off and on ride with. But I just like being with my friends and going to wrestling shows, man. That's the best part about wrestling, you know.
Now, you mentioned that you were a clown when you were doing some of the stuff with ICP. Now, was that, like, colorful clown makeup or, like, black and white?
No, like a mask. Like, I do numerous characters for their stage show. I was, like, a stage guy. They dressed me up like a predator also, like, my main gig there. They dressed me up like a predator. You can search this on YouTube if you look up Bang Pow Boom Predator. I did it in, like, 60 shows through 3 months for them a few years ago, but they dressed me up like a predator and I got chased around and beat up by Corp and ICP, and then I got powerbombed through a table every night. So for three months I got powerbombed through 60
hey,
tables.
That's how you learn how to bump, right?
Yeah, that shit's
crazy.
What? Maybe, like, you know, like, for all the shit I've done in my career, like, deathmatch wise and those tours, like, I feel really good, you know, like, I should probably be destroyed and fractured, and but I'm not. I've only broken my pinky, so.
Hey, I guess that's a good positive to take out of it.
Yeah. Man, 13 years and, like, tons of death matches, you know, for, like, CZW, IW Mid-South, and my worst injury is a broken pinky, so.
Hey, that's definitely
that.
Something to put on the resume. Really,
yeah,
you know, we're exactly what, I mean, we know that you started out watching ECW, so you kind of had that love for the, you know, the hardcore style wrestling. You know, what do you really think, I guess, from your perspective, you know, what's so special about hardcore wrestling that, you know, I guess really deserves, you know, audience attention opposed to, you know, the traditional one-on-one matchups?
You know, like regular matches can be really good. You can do really awesome stuff. But, I mean, if you add a few chairs and a ladder to it, it's just even better. It's just no way that it's not going to be better unless the guys kind of suck or they do their spots like shit. But anytime you add a few chairs or something, or if you can add a little bit of flavor to it with something like that, I think it always makes a match better. Even if it's just a body slam on the floor or a suplex on the floor, things like that, you always grab people's attention and you get the ooh, you know.
Yeah.
Especially with the body slam or just with a like that, I like to add to matches to make them look a little rougher than what they are, I guess.
Let's talk about ooze. I guess since you've been, you know, a part of hardcore wrestling, is there a specific bump that you were just like, man, that was super sick? You know, is there something that comes to mind that you?
A few times I've taken, like, top rope things into, like, giant light tube contraptions. Oof. When you're laying there in a pile of glass and you're like, oh, wow, this is a great idea, you know, and whatever. But that was always kind of I'm actually, like, not doing death matches anymore after this year. I have, like, CZW in May and UPW coming up this weekend.
Yep.
I have King of the Death Matches and then Insane 8, and then I'm no longer doing death matches anymore. It's my Last Dance with Death tour.
Last Dance with Death. I like that. And,
cool.
You know, you mentioned UPW. I'm actually going to be riding up with Jesse Von Ruden to check out Lord of Hardcore for UPW. And you're yes. actually involved in the deathmatch, like you mentioned, against Seth Gambino for the title. What are your thoughts kind of going into that match?
I'm really excited for this match. This match was supposed to happen 2 months ago. But are you looking for, like story or just, like, how I really feel about this match?
How do you really feel about it, man? Let it all out.
I like wrestling Seth. We have good matches. He always works so hard, and he always wants to, like, put his best out there and always have really good matches. So odds are we're going to go out there and we're going to tear it up, because the last few times it worked, it just keeps getting better and better. So now it's fans bring the weapons. So I have a I just have a good feeling we're going to tear it down. Well, I like Morgan Seth, too. He's a good buddy of mine.
Well, it's good to hear, man. And, you know, one thing Nick and I have been wondering when we've been hyping the show is, you know, there's a match in the finals, a barbed wire ropes match and whatever else they can find. Now, for someone that has the expertise of hardcore death matches, what exactly entails barbed wire ropes and how often do those actually get used as ropes?
I've done barbed wire ropes like 5 or 6 times in my career. It's pretty awful. one time I got like shoe pushed off the top rope on accident, and I fell on my side and kind of got ripped up on some barbed wire ropes. It's a little brutal, but you know, I guess it could be worse.
You want to talk about brutal and things being worse? I gotta know, man. You're an expert in hardcore. What is worse, like stepping on a thumbtack or stepping on a Lego?
Probably a thumbtack, man. It goes in. That shit hurts. Especially just one thumbtack hurts way more than a pile of thumbtacks.
That's very one, true. One I mean, I remember way back in the day at some museum, they would have like on display, there'd be like a bed of nails that people can lay on. And I mean, stepping on a nail hurts. And I'd imagine that when you're laying on a bed of nails, it's a little less painful.
Yeah, distributed evenly through your body. Well,
we're running short on time here, but one thing that we like to do before we let our guests go in the Spotlight Squared Circle is basically picturing a scenario. You know, you're talking to somebody about a wrestling show, and somebody comes back to you saying, well, I'm not really a big fan of wrestling, so why should I go check it out? What would be your response for them?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know if they don't want to see it. I mean, I'm not really good at hard selling somebody, you know. If you're not really interested in wrestling, I mean, you're probably not going to like it that much unless you had some like for wrestling back in the day. But, yeah, I don't know what to tell that guy, you know. Sorry, dude.
Hey, that's fair enough. And thanks for coming on this week, Dysfunction, for our Spotlight in the Squared Circle. And, yeah, we look forward to seeing you then sometime down the road.
No problem, man. Thank you guys very much for having me. You have a great night, okay?
You too, man.
All right, thanks.
Dysfunction here on RAQ Radio. What another great interview. And you know what? I kind of enjoyed the little bit of the rated R stuff. That was kind
of
cool.
Well, of course you do, because you like to push the bar. But, you know, it's actually funny because, as we mentioned, this interview was taken on Thursday. That was really the only time that worked for Dysfunction. And it kind of worked for us as well to actually make sure it was all cleaned up for radio. But, you know, actually talking with Dysfunction at the show at UPW's Lord of Hardcore and then actually just seeing him in action, a lot of heart on that individual.
Yeah, that's what he said.
You know, in the main event, actually, like right after he won the tournament, you know, it was all high and mighty, but he didn't. He instead of just leaving, you know, he actually announced to the fans that, you know, like he mentioned to us, this is his last Dances with Death match tournament kind of thing, because, you know, he can't really keep doing this anymore. But then he definitely, you know, he wanted to let people know that he was going to be passing the torch to the right guy. And that guy was Chase McCoy. He said to have the fans look out for Chase McCoy because this is the future of death matches.
Really? Well, that's actually really cool. And, you know, you can really tell when we had that talk with Dysfunction, apparently from when you got to see him, that, you know, he means really well, and he has just the biggest heart for the business, and that's something you always love seeing in those indie guys, too. So, you know, congrats definitely go out to him, and definitely for Chase McCoy for earning that respect that, you know, a lot of people probably wish they had from Dysfunction.
Yeah, no doubt about it.
So coming up next, we have Wrestler's Perspective for this week's Grapple Talk, episode number 24. You're not going to want to miss it, guys. Stay tuned. It's RAQ Radio.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Why is Vic's office in the men's room? Can anybody answer this question?
Here on RAQ Radio.
Remember, kids, always wash your hands after going to the bathroom.
RAQ, La Crosse's student and community-run station.
How and why we are in here. The gentleman running this show has left the building.
What?
This is not some bullshit wrestling angle. He's left without paying most of us. Oh. Including guys like this man, Jesse Amato, who's got stakes coming out of his head. Including this man, Masada, who is out here. I don't know. I don't know what I said to you. I just feel like you people should know. Thank you all for coming the f*** out here. There we go.
So that was audio from the chaos of the hardcore road trip in London, Ontario this past Saturday, I believe. You know, our friend Gregory Iron was out there. And, yeah, man, it turned into a debacle. If you couldn't really understand what it was all about, because I know there was a lot of shouting, a lot of crowd noise, pretty much there was this promoter who, I guess, faked a heart attack. Is that right, AC Riley?
Yeah, basically this guy, Mark Livingston, he faked a heart attack to get out of paying some of the workers. He had paid some in advance, from what I understand, and then the rest of them, he did not pay for their services. One of them was Gregory Iron. This is how actually it came was brought up to our attention, because he had made a post. I think he might have deleted it, but I mean, it still got covered here in this article. You know, we won't read the entire thing, but he's basically talking about how in the match he landed on his neck and head during Hardcore Road Trip, and here's. Here's a look of it right there. And then on top of that, when he came back, sure enough, he found out that he was out of the building. So obviously he's very frustrated with that. You know, he's saying that, in his opinion, to not support Hardcore Road Trip, but do support the guys like Stefan DeAngelis, who definitely, busted his hump to book the show like that. But, you know, he was just more of a victim of circumstance. I don't think anybody's blaming the Stefan DeAngelis guy, but, he's just definitely in the wrong place, wrong time as far as, this guy goes.
Yeah, so pretty much the gist of it is that these guys came down to the ring, they put their bodies on the line, and then they ended up not getting paid because, the promoter or, the guy that was, writing the checks, however you want to say it, ended up having some sort of fake excuse to where he got out of paying them. They ended up leaving with, not getting paid and being battered and bloodied and stuff like that. And that kind of leads us into a wrestler's perspective this week. It's a little bit more of a serious one, I guess. Normally we like to have fun with this, but it's more of a little bit of a serious question because, we've heard it before. At least it doesn't happen as often around in this area as, we'd expect it to. But, AC Riley, you've been wrestling now for, just over six years. So you're on your way to seven. And, what's really your opinion on, I guess, bookers, promoters? I mean, because you've been on both sides now. You're also a booker / promoter. What's your opinion on, paying guys and what's the reaction if guys aren't paid?
Well, I mean, you definitely got to have your guys paid. I mean, if you're paying these guys to, come out of their way to come to your show over other ones, for example, I mean, some guys will take the booking because, some of them may not have another show to go to, might not have another, connection or anything like that. But for the guys that do, like, for example, guys like Gregory Iron or guys like Stevie Richards or anything like that, those are guys that you really could take their ball and go wherever. And if they're coming to your show, you definitely need to make sure that they're getting paid. And that goes for everybody. If it's one thing if you really don't negotiate a price, and then if the guy asks for pay on the day of the show or asks for like try to get a raise or something like that, and the price is already negotiated, then that's on the workers. That's on the workers' bad. The promoter can only plan so much in advance. This is something that I try to do is that I'll try to be like, all right, this guy owes this guy this much money. All right, my expenses is this much. I need to make sure I have this much money by the time the show starts so I make sure I'm getting paid. Because I think some promoters try to like hope that they get a lot of sales, some revenue from the tickets, everything like that. And, this is something that Jesse, you and I have talked about, is that you got to make sure that these guys are paid. Because if they're coming down to spend all this time to work for your show and put on a hell of a clinic, got to make sure that they're paid for it. I'm not saying I'm perfect. There's been a couple times where I might have misunderstood a payment thing, and I apologize for that. But I always try to work it out. I don't try to fake heart attacks or anything like that. Which I mean, at 23, people would be like, "Wow, that dude must be really unhealthy if he's getting a heart attack." and they probably, you know,
yeah,
see right through my ploy. But, you know, even if I screw up on a pay thing, I try to correct it if I can, or try to arrange something, you know, hey, I can't do this right now, but tell you what, next time we'll try to figure this out.
Yeah, you know, talking about it just a little bit more, you know, in independent wrestling, you know, for people that are listening to this podcast that don't really know how the things work, even though I know, you know, we have a pretty big following with indie wrestlers, but, you know, getting paid is kind of like a back alley thing in independent wrestling that's not talked about very often. And I think it's another way, you know, of just showing guys, as far as if you're a booker, it's showing them respect. You know, people like to think, you know, putting a title on a guy shows him respect, or, you know, giving him this just showing him respect. But, you know, when it comes down to it, paying a guy the money that he deserves when he goes out to the ring, whether it be $10, $50, $200, it means something. I mean, you know, you're getting that pay, and it's showing that the booker was like, you know what, I'm willing to give you this amount of money for you to come down here. I'm willing to at least try to help you a little bit for your services. And I think that's really important also to remember, is that, you know, money, you don't like to talk about money a lot because it's kind of a gray area, but it's really a sign of respect in independent wrestling. And I think that's where this guy really screwed the pooch, because he had a lot of talent, obviously, on the show, and especially in kind of a hardcore setting show. If these guys, you know, wanted to get paid and, you know, agreed on some sort of a payment, and they came down and went through all of that stuff to end up leaving with an empty wallet, I mean, that's just not right.
Well, I think most of the guys that get paid, they're not expecting to make their money back, because, I mean, wrestling, I mean, a lot of people can attest to this. This isn't a very profitable line of work.
Yep.
I mean, especially if you're starting out, or if you're really, you know, really not anybody that's getting a whole lot of attention. I mean, you know, you definitely can get your money's worth for a weekend job. For most people, can be considered weekend warriors of sorts. But I mean, I think most people do it for fun. I mean, for example, Steve Stardom said it the best when we were doing training, 7 years ago. He was saying that if you're doing this for the money, you might as well leave, because this isn't a profitable business.
Yep.
You do this because you love it. And most people are okay with that. But at the same time, you know, some people are just like, you know what, if you throw me some money for gas, we'll be square.
Yep.
And that's the thing, because, I mean, gas is expensive. It's not $1 a gallon anymore. It's like, you know, $5 a gallon, yeah, in some places. So, I mean, some people just want something to kind of help chip away at that gas bill.
So pretty much to round off this week's Wrestler's Perspective, if you're a booker, make sure you're paying your guys. It shows them respect, and, you know, they'll want to come back for more.
That was kind of a serious talk.
It was a little bit of a serious talk. It was
serious, but at the same time, I mean, like, you know, we try to focus on the independent wrestling world, especially in the Midwest area. You know, granted, this was a little bit out of our jurisdiction, but it's definitely something that affects everybody, whether you're on the East Coast, the West Coast, you're in Japan, wherever it is. I mean, it's still relevant. And, you know, it was a little bit out of our normal fun jurisdiction, but it was something that needed to be said.
Yeah, it was something that needed to be said. What also needs to be said is that we need to give you a quick preview of the shows coming up this weekend before we get out of here. So I'll start us off. We got ACW number 3 at the Oshkosh Elks Lodge this coming Friday. That's May 2nd, presented by Sammy's on Main. It's at 175 West Furnaw Ave in Oshkosh. Doors open at 6:30. Bell time is at 7. They got a host of guys that are going to be there. Nick Colucci, Dream Police, Joey Avalon. You're not going to want to miss it. That's ACW number 3, Oshkosh's Elk Lodge, this Friday.
Two shows going on the Saturday. First is POW Entertainment at the American Legion Post 703 in Fox Lake. Doors open at 6, bell time at 7. Tickets are $10 in advance if you pay on PayPal at the site, or $15 at the door if you don't want to go online and you want to pay a little bit more. Vinnie Riott, Mad Winchester, Psychotic Jimmy Blaze, just a few of the names that will be there. And then also WPW Spring Showcase, also on Saturday at Baba Louie's, 419 Main Ave, De Pere, Wisconsin. Tickets are $10, $5 with a college ID. Doors open at 7. You'll see Dysfunction, Rip Ryan Shummers, Ian 12-Gauger, Derek Satan Holmes, and more.
So that's pretty cool. That is WPW Spring Showcase this Saturday. Well, that's it for Grapple Talk this week. When does the poll close anyways?
Poll closes this Friday. So if you haven't voted, or you think that you know somebody that hasn't voted, that they're holding out, tell them to go to that poll and vote. It's still getting pretty heated competition. But right now it's pretty much getting neck and neck with the Grizzled Young Vets and Matt Winchester. Those are the two just rising up in the voting. But that's the thing, though, is that even a guy with like zero votes could still come out on top if he has enough votes. So yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. And next Monday we'll be sitting down with one of our returning hosts, that's for sure.
Yeah, so it's going to be real exciting. You're not going to want to miss next week's episode, and you're definitely going to want to check out that poll and get on whoever you want to have, whoever you want to listen to again, man, because we got some catching up to do with...
Be sure to work that poll.
that is definitely inappropriate. Well, I guess it fits well with this inappropriate episode. That's it for Grapple Talk this week. We'll catch you guys next week here on RAQ Radio. Make sure to get out and support independent wrestling.
You're listening to Grapple Talk.
Everybody loves Nathan Gust.
Here on RAQ Radio.
It sounds stupid coming out of my mouth.
RAQ, LaCrosse's student and community-run station.